Well, life on a farm, I kind of laid back. Ain't much an old country boy to me can't hack. Early to rise, early in the sack. I thank God I'm a country boy.
And I can take you for a ride on my big green tractor. We're just country boys and girls getting down on the farm. She thinks my tractor's sexy.
Goodbye, city life.
Thank God I'm a country boy. Woo-hoo!
7:38, it is our time to talk to Ryan Jenkins, owner of Jenkins Farms up in Jay, for our weekly report of what's going on in the life of a farm this week. Hey, Ryan, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning. How are y'all doing?
Oh, man, we're doing great, doing great. I'm always watching your videos on your Facebook page, and, you know, I'm jealous. I'm not going to put $1 million into a tractor for me or a combine for me, but I am jealous to watch your videos. They're pretty cool. what's going on the farm this week?
Well, you know, we had, all your listeners probably know, last week was some beautiful weather, so we were busy. We were in the field. We were still spreading lime, and that's been a long, drawn-out process this year simply because of trucking issues. We can't get enough lime hauled in to keep us going, so when we get a load or two hauled in, we'll go spread it, and then we'll go work on something else. And that gets us to something else where there's trucking issues, and it's also kind of weird. We've been
Hey Ryan, can I pause you, because you made me think of something that I hadn't been thinking to ask you, but because I know we're going to talk about like crop management stuff, but it's been really dry, like super, super dry for a couple of weeks now. And I know you don't have, you know, crops in the ground, but but how do you deal with that, since one of your strategies in Santa Rosa County is you don't have to do irrigation because of all the natural water?
It just generally ends up working out. I mean, we needed some dry weather. Last year was extremely wet, the wettest since I've been farming, which caused a lot of problems. But, you know, it's as dry as it seems like it's been to most people. It's been good for us. Soil has had good moisture, and we've been able to continue working. But, you know, as it gets closer to planting time, and, of course, once our crops get growing, and the heat of the summer and the sun is at a good sun angle, it really dries things out, and that's when it really becomes a concern. You know, if you go a couple of weeks without rain, then you start getting a little nervous, you know.
But yeah.
It's been good. It's probably not as bad as what it seems to a lot of people right now.
Okay, well, hey, that's why I asked, because I didn't know the answer. But anyway, I kind of interrupted you. You were getting ready to talk about, you know, some of the issues related to shipping and crops because of the trucking issues.
Right. Well, we've been a crazy time of the year. This is way abnormal, but we've actually been harvesting corn this week, doing some custom work for one of my buddies who grew watermelons last year, and then at the end of the year he planted corn while we were harvesting corn, while normal people were harvesting corn. So he grew it at the end of the season, and that's called double cropping. You know, we have to pay so much rent for this farmland. Typical money crop, as we call them, like cotton or peanuts, usually grows, you know, roughly between May and November, you know, and the rest of the year the land's just kind of sitting idle. So as we have time and opportunity, we try to grow something during the winter, you know, to sometimes as a cover crop, but most of the time most of us grow wheat and oats during the winter, and then we'll cut them in the spring in time to plant our regular crops, our cotton or our peanuts. So he grew corn for his double crop, and it's just now, the moisture is just now low enough, and it's just now dry enough to start harvesting it. So we've been combining corn this past week, and the thing there is, same thing, there are no trucks to haul it to the market, to haul it to the buying point. So we've been really delayed in that, you know, only getting like a truck a day when I could load 7 or 8 trucks a day.
Is the corn, like, what happens if you can't get it to market on time? Is it storable? Are you talking about, like, you know, is it human corn? Is this for animal corn, feed corn? You know, is this for, you know, oil?
Yeah.
I mean, what do you do with it? And is it, you know, is this a problem that you can't get the trucks to ship it?
A majority of this will go to feed, and the problem's not as much on that end as it is on our end of getting it out of the field.
Okay.
You know, we're supposed to have some weather this week. One good thunderstorm comes through and it blows it all down on the ground and you're not able to harvest it. So there's that. There's insect issues. You know, the longer it stays in the field, weevils and stuff like that get in it and make it something that's not as valuable. So there's a lot of issues going on. And we've got to get it out because it's time to plant the money crop next month, the end of next month, you know. So we got to get it out so that we can get the field prepared and ready for that.
You mentioned a term that maybe people aren't familiar with. You mentioned cover crops. Can you talk about what that is?
Yeah, you know, used to, after the crop was finished at the end of the year, we would disc the land, and then, you know, like in January or February, we would turn the soil over using a breaking plow, and it would all be fresh on top. And there would be a lot of wind erosion, a lot of water erosion, because the field would be slicked off and pretty. And then as our techniques changed and as we did more research and all this, we came to where most farmers in our area now do strip tilling. So we'll plant a cover crop in the fall. Once we harvest our peanuts or our cotton, we'll plant wheat or oats or rye or something like that, a grass, to cover it. It's a cover crop to cover the ground during the winter, so that it does several things. You know, as the grass thickens and grows, it keeps the weeds shaded out, so you don't have near as many weeds to deal with. You've stopped almost all the water and wind erosion. Since that's a growing crop, instead of the nutrients leaching down through the soil, they keep it toward the top of the soil because the plant's using it. And then once we kill the plant, it just lays there and decays and adds organic matter back to the soil. And we'll come in there with a machine and we call it strip tilling. We'll just till a little narrow strip there where the row of cotton or peanuts or corn or whatever is going to go. And as well, it helps hold moisture too. It helps shade the ground and keep moisture there. So there's a million reasons why we do it. It's one of the best things that's happened in agriculture, in my opinion. And if you ride around Santa Rosa County or Scambia County, wherever you're at around the farming areas, you'll see a lot of fields will have something green growing on them this time of the year.
So you're not even growing the wheat or the oats or the rye to harvest. You're just growing them enough to cover the crop, to cover the soil and keep the nutrients up and to protect it from erosion. Then you're just going to basically, you're going to plow into them and kill them, and that's going to go back into the soil, and then you're going to plant your real crop. Is that right? You don't harvest it?
No, I mean, I will plant some farmers will plant enough to harvest, you know, to keep seed for the next year to do this, to plant the cover crop.
Okay.
But a majority, a huge majority, probably 90% of the cover crops in our area will never be harvested. They're just there strictly for the cover.
Interesting. You know, Ron, you've kind of mentioned early in the conversation, we're talking about how weather, especially excess rain or obviously limited rain, can be bad for your fields. We all know that when big events come through like Sally, it can be devastating and, you know, it can destroy the cotton crop. I mean, you know, you're very weather dependent if it doesn't go the right way. And I think a lot of people kind of assume that, well, obviously you've got crop insurance, or at least they assume that you do. Can you maybe talk about how crop insurance works and whether, because people probably think it's like house insurance or, you know, car insurance or something like that. Can you take a minute and kind of explain how that insurance works for you guys?
Yeah, you have to have a PhD degree to be able to figure this out. It's a very complicated thing, but in general, we have to have insurance. Number one, you know, almost all of us farmers have to have a large operating loan every year to get us through the year. So the bank, number one, to give us that loan, they're going to want to see that you have crop insurance. But we use crop insurance kind of like you're talking about, kind of like your house insurance if your house burned down, or your car insurance if you wrecked your car. But it's really, if you have to use your crop insurance throughout the year, if you have to use it, you had a bad year, period. It's not going to be a year where you make any money. You're going to lose money no matter how good your crop insurance is. It's kind of different than what a lot of people's auto insurance you know, something like that would be, we buy a percentage of insurance for our crops, for each crop. So we'll talk about cotton. Let's talk about 2020 when Sally came through. 2020 was going to be the best cotton crop I had ever grown. It was the best cotton crop that this area had seen. It was unbelievable. Everybody was excited. Then Sally came through and ruined it, and we really used a lot of crop insurance. But what will happen is they take your – the crop insurance people take your yields for your particular farm or your particular field for the last 10 years, and they average them together. So let's just say you had a 1,000-pound average yield, which is very high. I don't have that, but we're just going to use it for today. You buy percentages of coverage for that. So most farmers in our area buy, say, 70% or maybe even 75% coverage. So you're guaranteed, if you buy 75% coverage, you're guaranteed to either make 750 pounds of cotton, and if you don't make 750 pounds of cotton, then the insurance will kick in and bring you up to that 750 pounds of cotton at a predetermined price for that commodity. And they figure that there's a time frame in the spring, late winter time frame, where they average the price together for a month, and then they'll do that again at harvest time, and they'll take the higher of the two, and that's the price per pound that they will compensate you on based on your yield, on your average yield, and the percent of insurance coverage that you purchased.
So
that make any sense to you?
Yeah, yeah. So in Sally, you had a way above average year, which you missed out on harvesting, and you would have only been insured for a certain percentage of your crop anyway. So the swing, the delta, as people like to call it, the delta was from way above, let's call it 100%, to whatever your insurance was, let's say 70%. And so expecting a big bonus, you were out an awful lot of money, and I mean, it's a pretty big hardship. Okay, that, you know, that helps explain it. So, all right, well, that's it's definitely not like you think of for house insurance, but do I have that basically right?
You have it basically right. If you have to use your insurance, you're in bad shape.
Hey, last thing, Ryan, before we let you go, I know we always like to end on a farm fact. You got a farm fact for us this week?
I do. Now, you got to listen to this one because I got some numbers in it, so it's going to take me a second. 1-400, and we've talked about peanuts for the last few weeks, so I got to give cotton a little bit of love today. Did you know your dollar bills are made out of cotton?
Mm-hmm.
So each dollar bill, no matter what denomination it is 25% linen and 75% cotton. 1 480-pound bale of cotton will make 313,600 bills. And the data I have from 2009, there were over 6 billion bills printed, totaling $219 billion, and they used almost 21,500 bales of cotton to print those bills. I think it's cool. I think a lot of people know that your dollar bills are made out of cotton. So that's one way that we use cotton.
We wouldn't have paper money if it weren't for cotton farmers. And it's not paper money, it's cotton money. Ryan, thanks so much for the update, sir. We'll talk to you again next week, man. I appreciate it.
Have a good week.